Two Dead Girls and Jubilene contains material that may be upsetting to some audiences, including sudden loud noises, adult language, and depictions of murder and suicide. For more information, please find us on Instagram at Two Dead Girls Pod. That's the number 2 Dead Girls Pod.
The gun above the fireplace, the one Ma grabbed in 97 to chase off our home invader, that's a Ruger Mini 14. And it's semi-auto, so when you hear a manual bolt, you aren't listening to the Ruger. I never knew my grandpa, but I know that's the sound of his Remington 30-06. So, listening from my bedroom as my pa blasts his pa's gun towards the back 40, I know something unusual is afoot. He's been at it 20 minutes, and as far as Ma and I can tell, there's nothing out there but trees.
Myra, you found something to wear?
I said I'm looking!
Quit dawdling, we're gonna be late.
It's August 10th, 1997. It's been 2 days since Jesse Kaplan, 23 since Annie. I checked the dryer last, but all that's inside is a pair of gray sweatpants. Annie's, I guess, too short for me.
Myra, get your father. We have to go.
I'm not dressed!
Now, please.
Ugh.
Outside, I get a first good look at Pa. I guess, to an untrained eye, this might look like rifle practice. But Pa taught me to shoot. Square stance, two hands, just like he drilled in the Air Force. So when I see him, hips at 45, shoulders slouched, he just looks like a sad and suddenly old man, shooting a great big gun at who cares what, so he doesn't have to hear himself think.
Ma says we're gonna be late.
Late for what?
There's a meeting at the American Legion to talk about what to do, how to catch him. Everyone's going.
I don't want to see everyone. And they don't want to see me.
They don't think you killed her. Not anymore. And they never would have thought you did in the first place, except...
Except what?
In a tale of moral contradiction, meaning a tale where innocent girls die and killers run free, the universe tilts on the word except. For instance, Annie would be 29 this year. An actress, maybe, or a music teacher. And she'd come home to Christmas with Dan or Drew or Daryl and make suspicious remarks about repainting rooms with one hand on her belly. And she'd still have 50 years ahead of her. Her life would barely be beginning. Except, Pa and I, we sent Annie to her death. And there is no acting or music. Or Dan Drew Daryl Jr. Annie is just worm food. Now maybe less. Absent the consequences, I've done worse than ditch my little sister. And Pa's done. Did. Plenty worse than send us to the store. But that's how accept works. That's how it goes. When you weigh what could have been against what is. From the moment you went wrong. For instance, Pa and I could have reconciled in those early years, learned not to blame each other and ourselves. Except.
Except what?
except we didn't need milk when you weren't working on the fence. And I know you couldn't, that it doesn't, but she's gone, Pa. And I don't get why you lied about it. Why you keep on lying about it.
Pass me those bullets.
Ma said...
Kill her. Kill her, I'm not coming.
Story, a deadly storm, a missing girl, and in Jubilee, Indiana, a homicide investigation.
Annabelle was this beautiful, innocent little girl.
Well, beautiful is a stretch. Hang on, are you recording this?
We're learning a second girl, Jessica Kaplan, has been found dead.
There was no wiggle room for gut instincts. And anyway, this wasn't anything concrete, just a confluence of coincidence.
Conspiracy. That's what I say. Goddamn conspiracy.
33% of murders in this country are never solved. Any reasonable person.
And he's no criminal mastermind. I mean, double homicide?
Hang on, Ronnie. Your partner was gone the day Annie went missing.
Wayne Harmon, okay? Jesse Kaplan's uncle?
This is Two Dead Girls in Jubilee. Chapter 7. Except we lie.
I don't like being lied to.
I didn't lie.
You want to know why I don't trust people? Why I don't have friends?
I didn't lie, Myra.
You said we'd go to Wayne's together.
And we will. I just... Stop by to see what we're dealing with.
Without me.
We need whatever we find in that trailer to stand up in court. Now, if you want to hand all of Ed's tapes over to some loudmouth country judge, get the whole state talking about the Jubilee child killer, maybe we come out of the other end of that with a warrant. But if not, I need another probable cause to enter the premises. And I have no plausible deniability whatsoever if I do that with you in the car.
You said we'd go together, and then you went on your own without even talking to me.
I'm talking to you now.
Not anymore, you aren't.
Maybe that was a little unfair. He does have a point. But it hasn't been a good morning. I woke up to bad news from Berto. One of our cases fell through in Chicago. My absence is taking a toll. I spent breakfast fending off Ma's insinuations about another late night at Liam's, only to learn Liam decided to visit Wayne's foreclosed trailer without me. And so, faced with the prospect of an empty afternoon at home, I've just made a decision of my own. I'm going to visit my former piano teacher, Mrs. Newsom. Maybe her grandson Ronnie's Illinois parole means he couldn't have killed Pa. But I want to know more about his relationship with Wayne. Was he helping, then and now, to cover for a killer?
Mrs. Newsom! It's Myra Abernathy. I brought you a casserole. Mrs. Newsom!
The paint is peeling, but the house looks much as it did. The same tall, stern gables, the same old Buick LeSabre in the drive. I envisioned really sticking this to Liam. Making a big break just to spite him. But it's hard to make a big break if your subject doesn't come to the door. I load up my work email, thinking idly of the case that slipped away this morning. And I find I'm still parked on a message from Berto, Liam's background check. The name of his wife, Frances Nika Esfahani. I click over to my browser, working backwards through half-loaded tabs to search for her obituary. The results are perplexing. Obituaries for Frances Ellendale or Soraya Esfahani, a reverse phone lookup, one of those awful stalk your school crush websites. I scroll back to the top. I search the full phrase in quotes.
Yeah?
I should have talked to you first. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't have listened. I would have tried to come anyway.
Yeah, but... still. No more secrets, right?
I glance down at my phone. For Francis Nika Esfahani obituary, there are no results whatsoever. I look up at nothing in particular and land on the LeSabre. I notice the trunk is hanging open.
Where are you? The signal's awful.
Home. Must be your end.
The LeSabre's trunk is half full of groceries. White bread, lunch meat, cigarettes, a 24-pack of beer. Mrs. Newsom has always been an ashtray on the piano kind of lady, but I enjoy the image of her having a drink. Conservative old Methodist teetotaler sneaking a few cold ones while she falls asleep watching Jeopardy. Maybe she's having one now. Or maybe she walked inside and clean forgot she'd ever been to the store. You're allowed that sort of lapse, if you've been old since before Alex Trebek went gray.
I found Wayne's trailer. It's definitely abandoned, no sign of him. I talked to the site super, he says it's a magnet for junkies and, you know, kids skipping class.
Sounds like something the sheriff should have been paying attention to.
It sounds like the super gave up reporting it. Guess my predecessor considered this too long a drive. It's good news, Myra. We have an angle to work with to go ahead with the search.
Wait, what? Great. I'll meet you out there in about...
Hang on. First, I gotta go to the bank. You show them they have an interest in not escalating this to a judge. And if they say okay, we're good. Stay home. I'll call you soon.
Mrs. Newsom!
I thought maybe I'd find her in back, pulling dandelions, beating back bull thistle. Weeding used to be Ronnie's chore, which meant in years past that you could always catch Mrs. Newsom doing it. No Mrs. Newsom. And no weeds. My thoughts turned dark. Would it surprise anyone if Myra Abernathy found her ex-piano teacher dead? The victim of a sudden aneurysm? Or a random killing? Or a hay baler? The side door of a rickety garage hangs open, blowing in the wind. Hello?
Hey! Who's there?
Just me, Mrs. Newsom. Myra Abernathy?
What you doing out there in the yard? Still in town, then?
Yeah, just helping Ma clean up.
I remember how strong she was after Annie. If I had to bet on anyone to get on as a widow, it'd be your ma.
Jubilene's raised a few women that can watch out for themselves. I left the beer in the trunk. Mrs. Newsom said it wasn't for her, and I played along. I towed the other three grocery sacks past an upright piano. A Marlin 30-30 rifle sits on the lid, in case the next trespasser doesn't identify themselves as fast as I did.
I rang the doorbell a few times. Did you hear me?
I don't hear much. Even if I was on oxygen part-time, which raises an unholy racket.
Here by the prescriptions?
Uh-huh. That's fine.
So, how's your grandson? Out on parole, Ma said? Illinois?
Your pa visited him in prison. I know there was strife between you two, but I had Ed down as a good Christian.
Nobody else visits him? Ronnie?
I do, when my health allows, but but no. Not aside that.
What about Wayne Harmon?
What do you know about Wayne?
I thought they were friends.
They certainly were not. Wayne Harmon was a snake.
Empty grocery sacks?
Been by the shoes.
As I weigh how to press the question of Wayne, I lift the lid to Mrs. Newsom's bin. It's full of beer cans. Annie and I used to sneak sodas, on occasion. Knockoffs like RC or Big K, whatever Ma had clipped a coupon for. And Pa would always catch us. Know what they do to liars in the Air Force? He'd say, throw them out of the plane. I assumed, at that age, that Pa had survived the Air Force because he'd never told a lie. I didn't realize, until Annie, that adults lie just as much as kids. Never considered that Pa was a runway mechanic, that if anybody ever pushed him out of an airplane, it'd be an awfully short fall. We all lie. We do it to duck an argument, like the one about visiting Wayne's, or to avoid an explanation about a visit to Mrs. Newsom's. Little white lies. I'm here to deliver a casserole. Mrs. Newsom doesn't drink beer. Deep, dark lies, like Pa's, about our whereabouts and whatabouts on the day everything went wrong. So the question is never, is this person a liar? It's this. Knowing all people are liars, and always lying, why this lie? That's the test of whether somebody ought to be shoved from the nearest plane. That is the measure by which the smallest of lies can take on the greatest meaning of all.
Oh, good grief, what now?
Mrs. Newsom hears her doorbell fine. She just didn't want me in her house. My eyes land on a pair of work boots beside the bin, lathered in fresh mud. Men's work boots. The sort that left a footprint outside Ma's broken window. I lock myself in the bathroom. Come on, Liam, come on.
You've reached Liam. If this is an emergency, please.
Shit.
Hey, I was.
Did you ever reach Ronnie's parole officers?
No. He kept getting stuck on hold. Why?
We assumed he couldn't be the killer, but what if he wasn't in Illinois? What if he skipped parole? I searched the bathroom. Blonde hair clippings. Cheap black dye. A burner phone.
Myra?
Myra? What's going on?
Ronnie Newsom is at his grandma's house. 830 County 19 West.
How do you know?
Because.
Myra!
So am I.
Myra! I wanted to say, sorry about getting so frosty about Wayne. It's a sore subject.
I didn't know him. I probably misremembered. My eyes find the piano, but not the Marlin. The deer gun has disappeared. I can feel the dark of the upstairs hallway glowering down through the banister. Shadows dance behind the sofa. The whole house is a hunting blind. And I'm a 12-point buck. Who was at the door?
Oh, FedEx. My medication.
Well, it was good seeing you.
Are you going?
Ma's expecting me.
Well, don't rush off. I have something to give you. It's out in the garage. It's something of Annie's. It's a surprise.
Where is she? Where's Myra?
Right here.
What's going on?
I got Illinois. Emergency line. Oh, he's been gone 2 weeks, I thought.
Liam, look!
A blur of dyed black hair bursts from Mrs. Newsom's house and sprints across a fallow soybean field. Ronnie. A quarter hour later, I'm back in Mrs. Newsom's kitchen. In front of me sits a folder she retrieved from the garage. Inside is Annie's copy of the duet we were learning when she was taken. A melody silenced forever. I listened from right here as Ronnie denied any knowledge of the whereabouts of Wayne Harmon, any connection to Annie's death, any role in Paw's. Just 2 days after he broke his parole. Not many moments of my life have gone as I imagined. Losing Annie, losing touch with my home, my family, losing Pa. This certainly wasn't how I pictured catching the Jubilee child killer, if that's what we've just done. Chasing a second-rate criminal across a wide-open field in broad daylight. Watching him trip over his own feet before I even had the satisfaction of tackling him. I'm waiting for moisture at the corners of my eyes. Instead, I feel cold. Or not quite cold, a cool, ugly rage.
Did you hear all that?
I'm gonna talk to him myself.
Myra, I don't think. Myra!
Hey, where were you on September 28th?
I forget.
You know who I am?
I guess.
So did you kill him, Ronnie?
Kill Wayne?
Did you kill Ed Abernathy to cover your ass?
Myra.
Did you kill my sister?
No.
Then there's nothing stopping you from answering the question. Where were you on September 28th?
Okay. Come on.
I bet your grandmother's really proud.
Louisville. When your pa died, I was in Louisville with Gran, seeing a thoracic oncologist. Guess that'll double my sentence, crossing another state line.
Yeah. I guess it would.
I want more than anything to stay angry. I will myself to declare Ronnie a liar like all the rest. Except, I recognize this paradox. Pa's paradox. That once you've had the handcuffs on, you can never again be trusted. Never be innocent. You can only be guilty. Or not quite guilty. You were her.
What do you mean?
The oncologist.
Oh. Graham. She's got 6 weeks to live. She didn't have it easy. You know. Lost her husband. lost her son, and when I was all she had left, I got lost too. I ain't afraid of going back to jail. Just how I'd have felt if she died before I had the chance to make things right.
It's another 45 minutes before a van shows up from Illinois. We confirmed Ronnie couldn't have killed Pa. He was in Louisville the 28th. Although, Liam spared that detail from his report. Sometimes doing the right thing requires letting someone get away. At least, with the little things.
Take it easy, man.
Yeah. Don't worry, Ronnie. I'll call your lawyer.
All set, Sheriff?
All set, gentlemen. Thanks for coming all this way. I feel for the old lady.
Makes you think about quitting smoking, huh?
You see this?
A nicotine patch? Wow, did Maisie do that to you?
Yeah, she called Tim Jenkins. Told him if he sold me any more cigarettes, she's gonna organize a boycott. You know, I was pretty afraid I was gonna find you dead out here.
It would have been case closed.
That's not funny. Myra, I can't imagine how badly you must want to end this. But I'm with you. I want to help.
Okay.
If you won't be careful for your own
sake. I get it, Liam. I get it. Don't oversell it. Find anything in the garage?
Yeah, about 100 pounds of hemp old dandelions. What?
He never pulled those things when he was supposed to. But he came back before it was too late.
It was different between you and your dad. I could have picked up the phone just as easy as you. And you had no way of knowing.
Liam.
Right. Sorry.
That's Mom. I gotta go.
We're cleared for tomorrow at Wayne's. I'll pick you up.
You mean it this time?
Yeah. I mean it.
Okay. See you then.
Ma. What do I tell Ma? She'll find out about Ronnie through the rumor mill, if she hasn't already. Find out I was here. Except, even if I tell her the truth about what happened today, it isn't the truth. Not really. The truth is wrapped up in secrets I'm still keeping. Secrets about Pa, about Annie, about the Jubilene child killer. Does that make me a liar? When a person says, we were out of milk, I was busy with the fence posts, the lie can be for good or ill or neither. The problem is, the lie robs the listener of the chance to decide for themselves. I don't know if the truth about Pa and that day in 97 would make me feel better or worse. But I'd still rather know. At least, that's what I think, sitting here not knowing. Someday soon, I'll have to tell Ma the truth. All of it. That's what I decide as I unlock my phone. And then I'm interrupted by the sight of my web browser. Nika Esfahani obituary. No results. What does that mean? I type, is Nika Esfahani dead? What comes back is complete nonsense. All of it, except one link. A true crime blog titled, Nika Esfahani. Suicide? or murder.
Of our home, I've never wanted to know why you could never let go.
Two Dead Girls in Jubilene was written, directed, and produced by Ethan Whelan. It stars Emily Goss as Myra, Zachary Cantrell as Liam, Susan Harmon as Brenda, Michael McShane as Ed, Carrie Gutierrez as young Myra, Kitty Swink as Mrs. Newsome, Mark Jacobson as Ronnie, original score by Kevin Hutchins, associate producer Emily Goss, associate producer Zachary Cantrell. One Eye Open was written and recorded by Andrea Perez and Peyton Widener.
I guess I've never wondered what you were searching for.
Thanks to Kat, Ron, the Evans, Monisha, Jack, David, and Tyler, without whom there could be no Jubilene. If you enjoyed listening, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts, or tell a friend. For cast bios, episode transcripts, and more, find Our Little Town on Instagram, at @2deadgirlspod. That's at @2deadgirlspod. Thanks. Two Dead Girls in Jubilene is a work of fiction. Any resemblance to real events or to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.